cushion.
Yes, sir. Hey, now.
Yeah, come on, I'll mention it. When the captain is out of high.
Erica, welcome to Cigar Radio.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be here.
Erica, and could you please tell us a little bit about you and your project?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a student at Emory University, and I'm working on a project for my seniors honors project where I'm looking at Somali music in America, and I wanted to see how it's changed over time and if the musicians in the diaspora are doing new things with music and how that compares to more traditional forms. And so I used close analysis of the music. I'm a music major, so I used close analysis of the specific songs and then used interviews with community members to find out how people think about Somali music, what they listen to, what they enjoy, and try and understand how the music works in society, in the Somali community.
Wow, that's a lot of job. So tell us about your trip, and I believe we went together actually to Minneapolis. What do you think about that trip?
I was really glad to be able to go, and I was really glad that you were able to come with me. It made it really a valuable experience, and it wouldn't have been possible without you. So I'm very grateful for your help. It was wonderful. I got to speak with many members of the community, both young and old, and both people who were really knowledgeable about traditional music and those who listen to predominantly new music, and kind of understand how what they listened to, what they enjoyed, and how they viewed music and how it's changed over time.
Great. And I'm sure to do that, you went through so many hoops. We went together to the restaurant. We went to the Somali mall. Mm-hmm. We visit like a Professor Samator. And what do you think about all that?
It was very interesting to see you spend some time in the Somali community and just to see the different points of view that people had. So at the malls, we spoke with people in the studios, we spoke with people, business owners, and then we also got to go to Professor Samatar's house, and they each had very unique perspectives about music and opinions about the new music, and those contrasting opinions were which struck me as the most interesting thing to be going on in kind of the music community right now.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about most of the Somali music don't even have a copyright? Anybody can sell it. Mm-hmm. From what we find out in our trip, we didn't see anybody who have a copyright and their own music. We didn't find it. So what do you think about that?
I thought it was very interesting. And from what I understood, from what people were telling me, it's definitely an issue in the community for the musicians who don't get anything from their recordings, really. And the studio owners that we spoke to actually, I felt a little guilty about it, making profits off of music that they download off of the internet for free. But it's some copyright has never really existed in the Somali music industry, from what I understood. But then we spoke to one person who said that in Djibouti recently they've been trying to kind of create a registry, so that's this issue will be resolved. But I think it definitely has implications for the music industry and the number of kind of professional musicians who make a living from music versus those who just do it on the side and kind of make tracks at home because they can't make a living from it because there is no copyright.
Let's listen to this music. Can you tell us who this is?
This is Kenan Hobale, is the song. It's from his 2005 album, The Dusty Foot Philosopher. Mm-hmm. And he's actually a unique musician within the diaspora because he is a professional musician. He's a full-time musician, doesn't have another job. And he's also more in the mainstream American music industry.
Cool.
So this song I picked because it is kind of a mixture of the spoken word rap style mm-hmm. with the questions he's asking, mm-hmm. but then more traditional instrumentation with the kaban or oud mm-hmm. And the drums and the recitation of hobale, hobale over
Great.
Again.
Great, let's listen to it.
With terror when it's war that's terrorizing. Hobale, ohe, de hobale, ohe, 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 de hobale, ohe, de hobale, ohe, hobale, ohe, de hobale, ohe, hobale, ohe, de
to say a little bit about this song?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I found really interesting in my interviews with some of the older people and people who were very knowledgeable about traditional forms and very respectful of the traditional forms and the value that they held in society said things like the new music isn't Somali. It doesn't have meaning like mm-hmm. Somali music should. And then specifically someone said about Kanan that he's a great guy, but he's not creating Somali music. And so then I kind of questioned that opinion because I have found interviews with Kanan where he speaks about his Somali heritage and about his kind of education in Somali poetry and Somali music. And so then I said, well, there must be something Somali in his music, even if people... Some people say it isn't Somali music. And so this song I picked as an example of Kanan's mixture of Somali musical language and his kind of American or hip-hop rap style. And the instrumentation, like I said already, the use of the kaban and the drums and the rhythm is very Somali. And he uses a mixture of Somali and English language. And then the short questions, the kind of two-line verses where he asks the questions both in English and Somali, are reflective of kind of the importance of the meaning of a song in Somali culture. So he asks very deep questions reflective of kind of issues in Somali. This is from 2005. And he's trying to raise awareness of the issue and spread awareness throughout the world and kind of bring peace and freedom to the Somali people.
Yeah, when we start the first time, I invite you to Somali wedding. Mm-hmm. You want to mention a little bit about the wedding and the music they played?
Mm-hmm. Although it was a really cool experience to see in the middle of the night, which was very interesting. The music was Ahmed Yare from Minnesota was flown down to perform at the wedding. It was in Atlanta. And I got a chance to speak to him, and he was playing, I think, music that's more typical of the local Somali communities in America. And it's all synthesized, like electronic keyboard and synthesized instrument sounds and accompaniment. And he has that pre-recorded on a CD that he can play through a sound system and then sings on top of it. And he said that there at weddings, which are a really important source of income for musicians in the community, he likes to play a mixture of new and old music because of the kind of multi-generational audience that's present at the weddings. So I think that's another example of how the musicians in the community play kind of mixture of their music from their heritage and music that they're creating now based on their new experience in the community.
Great. I'm trying to play the Masafo Amayere song. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Song saying,
yeah.
You know what Hanun means?
Pain.
Pain. Okay, tell us about this song and what do you think?
This song, I think, well, first of all, I didn't mention in the wedding that, you know, everyone's dancing to the music, and I think this song also has a strong beat, which you can definitely move to.
Yeah.
Which I think is important. This song I picked because its use of the synthesized music, the instruments, are from a keyboard and then with voice on top. And he uses a kind of reggae rhythm. You get a reggae feeling. But then mixed with kind of more, I think, traditional vocal techniques. So the voice line, I think, sounds pretty similar to some of the more traditional Somali music. And his use of what I'm calling melisma, kind of sliding between notes, and vibrato, so varying the pitch on a note. And then the fact that it's a love song and has very emotional lyrics, and it evokes an emotion and a feeling in the audience, which the meaning, when I spoke to every person that I spoke to about the music, said the meaning of the song and the story it tells is the most important part. And love songs, or love as a theme, has always been present in Somali music, and so it's very connected to the traditions, the thematic traditions.
Let's listen more. One day you can play Somali music, maybe sing in Somali.
I can't sing in English. I would learn it.
You'll learn.
Yeah.
Great.
I don't have a great voice.
So, most of the time we hear from the news that negative thing about Somali. Mm-hmm. This time we hear about Somali music and their culture. And what people say about you talking about Somali music?
I think people at school and people in family were, I think, kind of surprised by my choice of topic, or like, oh, that's interesting. How did you come up with that? And I think one thing that someone said to me in interviews when we were in Minneapolis, someone said to me, the greatest tragedy of Somali cultural production is that it's unknown. And they there's a great long history of poetry and sung poetry and music as a very valued and skillful tradition in Somali culture that's people in the rest of the world are unaware of. And so I think when I started listening to the music and learning about the meanings behind it and the poetry, I got very interested in it. And I think this is a great opportunity to share it with people who would otherwise be unaware of it, would otherwise not never know of its existence. And I think it's also sheds a different light on the Somali community, whereas people who don't maybe interact with Somalis ever just see the news and just have that opinion without understanding any other aspect of their culture, unaware of any kind of cultural production that is coming out of the communities.
Great. Abdullah Karche. Tell us about him. What do you learn about Abdullah Karche?
Well, when I was starting my research on traditional music, his name came up a lot and specifically connected to the term father of Somali music. So I used him as my example of traditional Somali music. And when I say traditional, the beginning of professional popular music in Somalia in the 1940s and 1950s. And he is an interesting case because he moved around a lot as a child in his upbringing, so in Tanzania, and he was in Yemen, and then in Somalia, northern Somalia, and then in Mogadishu. And so through that, he incorporated a lot of kind of Arabic sounds from his time in Yemen and instruments with the tradition of Somali poetry, and his music is, the text of his music is references specific events during the time. So this song, Lumumba, references the assassination of Lumumba, and he is, the song, the lyrics are, you don't think he's dead, he's never gone, I have the specific lyrics here, but it's, the poetry is very specific to the time and the occurrences of the time, and mixes that with the traditional, or with a new kind of sound and instruments. And it's also, I think, at this time important to note that these musicians were becoming professional musicians. It was an industry, and they are making their living from the music. So this is the song that this kind of era and this song specifically are what I'm comparing the new music, so the two songs we heard from Kenan and Ahmed Yare, to.
Let's listen to Abdullah Karche?
Yeah, Abdullah Karche, Lumumba.
Lumumba, all right.
Ina wada rogane
I believe at one time he worked at the radio station. You want to mention a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think all of the musicians of his time who were involved in kind of creating this new industry were involved in the radio stations. which were a place to kind of play the new music and get it out into the community.
Yeah.
And it was very important in, the radio is very important in the development of the genre Halo Haze. And specifically the use of the refrain, the repetitive kind of chorus. I read that the radios would pay more for longer songs, and so musicians started repeating the poetry or certain stanzas of the poetry, and that's how this form kind of was established. And he also, he worked with many musicians at the radio station and then also started the group Walalo Ergesa, which produced theater productions and new music and really were instrumental in the development of professional popular music in Somalia.
Great. So, Erica, and what else you want to tell us about your research?
I think the most important thing I found, or the what I want to share, is I found a lot of negative opinions about new music within the community, and very a lot of positive ones too. But in response to some of the negative ones, I found a lot of connections between the new music, so the songs we heard from Kenan and from Yare, to the traditional music. And really they were kind of a combination of what I'm calling retentions, or things that have remained the same from traditional Somali music, and kind of new aspects, new instruments, new rhythms, new pop styles. And so it's a combination of all of these things, and I think reflective of their kind of new situation, a multicultural community, multicultural environment where they're drawing on different aspects of kind of what's surrounding them and what they're hearing.
Great. Finally, is there any group that you want to thank? Anything last minute you want to say about it?
I want to thank you very much for all of your help through the whole process. It would have been impossible without you. And also my advisor, Kristen Wendland, and everyone in my committee, Viola Hartfield-Mendez at the Office of Community Partnerships. Dr. Andrews, Dr. Little, and also SIRE, Scholarly Inquiry, they provided me with a grant money to go to Minneapolis, and that allowed me to take you with me, which was very useful. And then the Somali community as a whole in Minneapolis and in Atlanta for being very welcoming and willing to talk to me about their music and teach me about their culture.
This is great. Thank you.
Thank you.
fosa festa ku digayan faeda karone fasti hablode fortun iya fosa festa ku digayan.